Chairs No Waiting, episode number 468, Andy and the Mayberry Gang. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the good folks over at Weaver's Department Store. At least I hope we're good folks. Head over to Weaver's and check it out. We got the complete DVD set of the Andy Griffith Show. It's a lower priced version. Doesn't have some of the extras that the original did, but you can still get the original commercials. Head over to Weaver's and check that out. Or maybe you want to check out the Mayberry Trivia Book by Scott Hopkins. A great selection. And don't forget your Body by Barney t-shirt. I love it. Head over to Weaver's and check things out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 468 is Ted Womack. Hey, Ted, he is our Mr. McBeavy and also a Mr. Wheeler tribute artist, and it is always great to have Ted. He's also helping me out with my squad car right now, helping me get some repairs done on my Mayberry squad car. So, wow, Ted, thank you for supporting the show and helping me out. Folks, who am I? I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it's always great to be here with you. We record these things on Monday nights normally, so the chat room is full of folks talking and visiting with one another, and I invite you to come over to live.twochairsnowaiting.com on Monday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern time and join us. Tonight, we're going to be talking about there was an article I ran across online that's called, here, let me show you if you're on the video. It's called Mayberry Exposed, Secrets of the Andy Griffith Show. Now, it was on a website called CloserWeekly.com, CloserWeekly.com. And it was written by Ed Gross, G-R-O-S-S. I assume that's how he says his name. And he wrote a really nice article, and I wanted to share that with you. I'm not going to read it word for word or anything, but we're going to talk through it basically because I think that'll make it a lot more fun. And as soon as we get through with that, you're going to hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. And this week it's about Aaron Rubin. So we've got some fun stuff coming for you. So let's get this thing rolling. I guess I ought to maybe get me a little background music. And folks, the background music is always by the VW Boys, my buddies. And that is Mockingbird. Here's T. Bass when I've tried to kill it, but it survived because this is Mockingbird in the background. A little bit of Andy Griffith Show fun. You'll see them at Mayberry Days and other locations. I think they may be going on the Mayberry Cruise with us this year. All right, so let's get on into this. I've been blabbing and talking. So let me, again, this is from a magazine called, or a website called Closer Weekly. And it's Mayberry Exposed, Secrets of the Andy Griffith Show. So let's go and check this out. So what they were talking about in it was something I had not really thought much about. But television in the 1960s was filled with a lot of, you know, kind of high concept shows. So it was unusual shows that had concepts to them. But nothing was quite like the Andy Griffith Show. Back during that time, there were, you know, kind of crazy shows like Gilligan's Island. You know, where you had it was a concept show. So there's a group of people who got shipwrecked on an island. You may have heard about it. They started off on a 3-hour tour. Anyway, if you don't know about it, anyway, it was a concept show. And they had other ones like that. The concept, like a alien came down and started living with a guy. That was my favorite Martian. Had monsters living down the block, in both the Munsters and the Addams Family. You remember those shows? So those were kind of concept shows. Bewitched and Genie were another. They kind of were in a pair together where they kind of fit together. But the Andy Griffith Show kind of stood out and has stood out, I believe, over the years. It's different from those. It wasn't really a concept show at all. It was more of a memories of the good old days. You know, small town life, and came in the form of the Andy Griffith Show. And that's what we pretty much got from them. And well, so it came on for 8 years. You guys know that. 8 years from 1960 to 68. And then basically went on another 3 years with Mayberry RFD without Andy and stuff. But the show was about Andy Taylor, Andy Griffith, and his son Opie. We all know that. We're fans of the show. they're caretaker of Aunt Bea, and of course Deputy Barney Fife, one of our favorites, who could not love him, and a whole bunch of townspeople that also really became characters that we cared about on their own. You know, you got Jim Neighbors, Gomer Pyle, and you know, he eventually got his own show. We cared so much about him. It's difficult to describe the appeal of the Andy Griffith Show, but the bottom line is that you can still watch those episodes even now in 2018 as I record this, and take away so much of a sense of warmth and good-natured fun and laughter. The Andy Griffith Show has never changed the world, possibly, but it somehow reminds us that the world's not such a bad place. And maybe just a little bit it changes the world. We got the Mayberry Bible Study. We get to meet a lot of people because of the Andy Griffith Show. So in a little bit, I got to tell you that the Andy Griffith Show has changed my world a lot. So let's look back just a little bit more at the Andy Griffith Show here. The series was born as an episode of the Danny Thomas Show. And Danny Thomas, the entertainer, he had his show from 1953 to 1964. The episode, Danny Meets Andy Griffith. Danny Thomas was speeding through the town of Mayberry and got pulled over by Sheriff Taylor at a stop sign where there was no road. You remember that? Well, that's how we met Andy. He came out there, and, you know, Danny, from that, learned something about maybe some of his arrogance of being a big city fella by coming to that small town of Mayberry, North Carolina, where Andy was not only the sheriff, but he was a justice of the peace and a newspaper editor and everything. But on that episode of the Danny Thomas Show, we met Andy and Opie and Henrietta Perkins, who eventually on the Andy Griffith Show became Aunt Bea, Frances Bavier. You know, at that time when Andy made that episode of the Danny Thomas Show, he was doing pretty well for himself, even on the big screen and on stage. And he had become curious about being on television or doing a television show. He was performing in the play Destry Rides Again when he was approached by the legendary TV producer Sheldon Leonard. With an idea that would become his own series, Andy's own series. Andy didn't know if he liked the concept or not, but he sure did like Sheldon. So he said yes, and wow, how grateful we are that he made that decision. Yes, I mean, wow, couldn't have done it. It's just amazing without it. What would the world be like with Andy Griffith? Throughout the first season, Andy Taylor went through a lot of changes, or actually, I guess Andy Griffith went through a lot of changes, because when he first started playing the character of Andy Taylor, his portrayal was just more of a country bumpkin, kind of like a Will Stockdale, if you remember that from No Time for Sergeants. It was a style that Andy had delivered often as his comic routines and monologues on stage. That was how he was playing the Andy Griffith character. Then later on, the character changed a lot to more endure himself to the viewers, because Andy realized, at least according to producer Aaron Rubin, that he had to be the straight man to all these kooks. So Andy decided he needed to be the straight man to all these characters that were around him. As a result, in season two, and even into season one, he had actually changed some. He was, as Aaron Rubin called it, he was more Lincoln-esque. So he's like an Andy Taylor was more of a Abraham Lincoln type character, a Lincoln-esque character, which meant that more and more of the drama and craziness was come from the residents of the town of Mayberry, or maybe visitors that visited there. But it would require Andy to lend him a helping hand and to fix things. And pages of the Andy Griffith Show book by Jim Clark and Ken Beck, he revealed, in the beginning, I was supposed to tell funny stories about people around the town and be very Southern. very rural and very mountain. Rural was very in vogue at that time. So that's what Andy thought. There, you may not know, if you're a new listener to the show and maybe not as big a fan of the Andy Griffith Show as maybe some people, but there are actually words to the theme song to the Andy Griffith Show, the Andy Griffith Show theme. And when the words are combined with it, it's actually called the fishing hole. You guys knew that, I believe. But a lot of people don't know that. They just, the instrumental version that they hear on the show at the beginning, they don't realize that there's actually some words that go around with it. And the words were actually written later, after the show was already out, by one of the folks that appeared on the show. Now, if you don't know who that is, I'm not going to tell you, because I'm going to make you come back, and we'll talk about that another time. So Ron Howard, when he started on the Andy Griffith Show, he couldn't read. You may not know that. He was only about 6 years old when the Andy Griffith Show started, and he began playing Opie Taylor. Ron Howard, who was then called Ronnie Howard, he didn't know how to read. So his dad and other cast members would go over and over the lines with him to help him learn it, but mostly his dad. Ron, of course, would go on to play Richie Cunningham in Happy Days. I don't know if you knew that. I'm sure you did. But he was Richie Cunningham. And I heard he became a big actor, and I mean a big director later on. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but Ron Howard did pretty good for himself. And thanks to Andy Griffith and the Andy Griffith Show and all of his learning on the set, they got him really interested. Now, Andy wasn't a fan of filming in front of a big audience, of an audience. Sitcoms of the time, and most of them now, though not quite as often right now, but they were filmed in front of a live audience, filmed or taped. Andy was never a fan of that idea, and had no interest in that being the way the Andy Griffith Show was filmed. He told author Richard Kelly, he said, "With the audience, you must make a joke or have a joke every so often, you know, every few minutes." Most of those three-camera shows, which are the shows with the live audience, most of those three-camera shows don't have any character comedy at all. They have joke comedy. The audience is what creates the problem, you see, because the audience is there. You got to keep them entertained. And so you end up entertaining this little handful of people that's in the audience there during the live recording. And so you have to have jokes. And when you shoot with one camera, you have no audience. And so you have character comedy. And I prefer that. That's what Andy said. So that's one of the reasons that the Andy Griffith Show is different than so many shows we've seen, because it's characters, not jokes, that we're laughing at. Don Knotts left the Andy Griffith Show after 5 seasons. And there was a reason. I don't know if you guys knew, but Andy Griffith had been adamant from the very beginning that he was going to do 5 years and that was going to be it. He'd be moving along. And that sounded good to Don Knotts. So that was fine. So in the 5th year, as it was going along, Andy was still saying he was going to quit. So Don went out and got a movie deal, a film deal from Universal Studios. And then when Andy decided to continue the show, Don really couldn't. He had to leave to go on and do the films that he had signed up to do those films for. On the show, it was explained that Barney had left Mayberry and joined the Raleigh, North Carolina Police Force. You know, he did the fingerprints. But in real life, Don had gone on to making movies like The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, and so many other great movies. Now, he did return to Mayberry several times and won Emmy Awards for that, for coming back as the Best Supporting Actor, Barney Fife. Now, you may have noticed over the beginning of the show for years that Andy, his romances didn't last very long. Andy's discomfort with being romantic with women in real life, evidently, kind of became an issue on the show. Basically, it was incredibly difficult to find somebody that you could set up with Andy Taylor as a romantic partner. Eventually, though, a relationship with school teacher Helen Crump, Anita Corso, developed. But in many ways, while it was cute and wholesome, it was also very superficial. Yeah, initially, he and the writers thought the problem was with the various actresses that they tried, including in season one, you had Father Knows Best, Eleanor Donahue was the druggist, Miss Ellie. But they did realize as it went along that it wasn't really the actresses. It was really that the writers didn't know how to write romance. And Andy wasn't that good at playing it. So he was always kind of uncomfortable around the ladies. You know, I think I would be too. You know, putting on, acting like you was in love with somebody or something like that. I think that'd be hard, especially if you was married, which I believe Andy probably was at the time. George Lindsay played the character of Goober Pyle for almost 30 years. Did you know that? It's on different shows, of course. One of the residents of Mayberry, North Carolina was Goober Pyle, the cousin of Gomer. He's played by George Lindsay, the actor. Together, the cousins ran the local filling station and car repair shop. We knew that. Different times, of course, but they were all there. Ended up in the return to Mayberry, G&G, I guess. Gomer and Goober. But not only did George play the role on the Andy Griffith Show, but he continued to do so on the spinoff Mayberry RFD. And that show ended in 1971. And the following year, George joined the cast of the syndicated variety show Hee Haw, where he once again played Goober and did so until 1992. Can you believe that? So from 72 to 92, he did it. That's got to be some kind of a record. I just can't. Basically, Kelsey Grammer, who may know is Fraser Crane. He only did 20 years on Cheers and then the spinoff Frasier. So George may have beat him. I thought that's a little trivia you might enjoy. Now, the show was actually filmed in a variety of places, and everybody thinks it was in North Carolina where they actually filmed it, but it was not. The interior sets were based there in Desilu Studios, which had been created by Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, Desilu, and served as the home base for a lot of sitcoms at the time. There you'd find the courthouse and Andy's living room and kitchen and the porch, all that stuff that you see. That stuff was inside the set. It was right there in the set. And everything from the filling station, at least the outside, run by the characters Gomer and Goober. So all that stuff was there. At least there was an inside set. Standing in for the real Mayberry itself was Culver City, California's 40 acres backlot, where the cast and crew would gather each week and go over and shoot. And they also went over to Franklin Canyon Reservoir, the upper Franklin Canyon Reservoir, which stood in for the North Carolina woods. Been there. Still there, folks. That's one place that you can still go to and see things from the Andy Griffith Show. All right, so Jim Nabors got his own show based on Gomer Pyle. We know that. He originated the role of the innocent, goofy Gomer Pyle on the Andy Griffith Show, but the character proved so popular that he spun off into his own series pretty daggum quick, too. Gomer Pyle, USMC, saw the Gomer Pyle character join the Marines from the halls of Montezuma. I can't sing it. This here's my favorite part. I love that. Anyway, that was a very successful show in its own right, and the show had its pilot air as the season 4 finale of the Andy Griffith Show. And then it debuted in 1964 on its own series. It focused mostly on the interactions with Gomer and Sergeant Carter, Frank Sutton's character, and ran for 5 years, 5 seasons, concluding in 1969. Like Andy Griffith, Jim Nabors decided to end the show on his own, wanting to try different things. He later observed, unfortunately, that everything he ended up playing felt like a variation of Gomer. But he never disliked Gomer Pyle. So, Aunt B. Now, this was known as having a little bit of an attitude. Frances Bavier was. By all reports, the actress, Frances Bavier, who was the wonderfully doting Aunt B., She can be sometimes a little difficult on the sets. Some attribute this to the fact that the pace of television work was much more intense than on feature films, and she had done those. She also didn't handle cursing, good for you, Aunt B, on the set, and made it clear to everyone. Apparently, her co-stars sometimes felt they had to walk on eggshells around her. Probably if they were cussing, they should. Good for you, Aunt B. She phoned Andy a few weeks before her death. She passed away at age 87 and apologized to him for being difficult on the set. George Lindsay tells a story of getting hit with an umbrella from Aunt B because he said something he shouldn't have said. She whacked him over the head with an umbrella. Boom. Can't you just imagine? That's Aunt B, isn't it? So good for you, Aunt B, keeping those men straight. I'm proud for you. So, folks, we went from black and white episodes to color. There were 249 episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. 159 of them are in black and white. That's the first five seasons. All of them with Barney. All those first, well, that's the seasons Barney was full-time on this show. And season 6 through 8, that was 90 episodes, they were in color. But, you know, looking back, I think most of us still really enjoy and love the black and white episodes. They don't really feel dated. They just make you feel that Mayberry's real somehow because it's in black and white. So the executive producer of The Andy Griffith Show, Sheldon Leonard, he started his career as an actor. You realize that? He was Nick the bartender in A Wonderful Life. You remember him there? That's one of my favorite Christmas shows. But his accomplishments as producers are truly amazing. These credits include as producer, The Andy Griffith Show, The Danny Thomas Show, The Dick Van Dyke Show, Gomer Pyle, USMC, I Spy, and other series like that. It's just amazing. And an interesting bit of trivia you may not know is The Big Bang Theory that is in 2018 currently airing. The series creators, Chuck Lorre and Bill Prady, paid tribute to Sheldon Leonard by naming their two lead characters Sheldon and Leonard. Yeah, there you go. We've talked about that before, but you may not remember it. All right, so one show ended and another one began to fill the void. The idea of a spinoff getting a pilot episode within an established series is certainly not a new idea, but The Andy Griffith Show handled it differently. Andy was leaving the show following the end of its 8th season. But there was a desire to keep the series, which was ranked number 1 that year, by the way, on the air in some form or another. To this end, Ken Berry was brought in as Sam Jones. He was a widower farmer who moved to town with his son, Mike, who's played by Buddy Foster. As the last season of The Andy Griffith Show ended, the last several episodes switched from the focus of being on Andy to being more focused on Sam. So the last several episodes of The Andy Griffith Show were more about Sam. In many ways, Mayberry RFD felt like a straight line from The Andy Griffith Show, maintaining most of the supporting cast, with even Aunt B staying on as Sam's housekeeper at the beginning. And you may not remember this, but The Andy Griffith Show was owned by Andy Griffith. He owned more than 50% of it. And one would imagine that that carried over to Mayberry RFD as well. If so, it's pretty understandable why Andy wanted to keep things going and make things successful. So it wasn't just a spinoff that set up on the last few episodes, but when the Mayberry RFD premiered the following season, Andy Taylor and Helen Crump, Andy's girlfriend, got married on the first episode. And Don Knotts even returned as Barney to be the best man for Andy. And if you watch the episode, he went on their honeymoon with them. Barney did. So, folks, and then the last thing we'll run through is there was the reunion episode produced back in 1986. It was made for TV movie that reunited most of the cast from The Andy Griffith Show. It was the only reunion movie type show. They had some reunions where they sat around and talked, but it was the only actual reunion. Andy Taylor, who had been off as U.S. Postal Inspector in Cleveland, returned to Mayberry and run for sheriff. He's reluctant to do so, though, because Barney was going to run for sheriff, and Andy didn't want to hurt Barney. And, of course, at the same time, Opie was already he was married and was expecting his first child. Trying to decide whether or not he wants to become a reporter in New York rather than there in Mayberry. There's much more, but let's just say that it was a wonderful opportunity to catch up with the amazing cast and characters from the Andy Griffith Show, that reunion episode, the return to Mayberry. He got to recapture just a little bit of the magic of the original series. There was also something reassuring to note that the world might have changed a lot by 1986, but Mayberry was still Mayberry. There's a reason a TV show captured imagination of so many people over the decades. And the film was a general reminder, as well as a chance to check in on some old friends just one more time and let them say hi to us. So, folks, that's just Andy and the Gang that we've been talking about. I got to tell you, it's amazing to me, Andy and the Mayberry Gang, just how amazing it has been a run through this. So, folks, I hope you have enjoyed that. Now we have another treat for you, as we always do in the last several episodes. We are going to hear This Week in Mayberry History from Randy Turner. So, Randy, take it away.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
The great character actor Dub Taylor was born on February the 26th, 1907, in Richmond, Virginia. His family moved to Georgia when he was five. Dub's
That's the wrong one. That's from last week. Oh, my goodness. Alan didn't get it ready. So let me see if I can fix this up for you real quick. So we have a great report from Randy Turner. The video here is about Aaron Rubin. So let me see if I can get this in here for us. We've had reports in the past from Randy, and I know you're going to love it. So let's take it away, Randy. Let's do the right one this time, Alan.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Aaron Rubin, the person most responsible for the consistency of quality storytelling during the black and white years of the Andy Griffith Show, was born on March the 1st, 1914. His Jewish parents were immigrants from Poland, and Aaron grew up in the west side of Chicago. He attended classes at a local college but did not finish, choosing instead to concentrate on performing in live theater. After his military service, Aaron began his career in national entertainment, writing for old-time radio, including on programs for Dinah Shore, George Burns and Gracie Allen, Fred Allen, and Milton Berle. He began his television career in 1953, writing for the anthology show Texaco Star Theater, and the following year began writing for Caesar's Hour. He first wrote episodes of The Phil Silver Show, and then directed 31 episodes of that series, which is also known as Sergeant Bilko. Sheldon Leonard brought Aaron to The Andy Griffith Show as producer and writer. Aaron oversaw all the writing as the series story consultant. Aaron is generally considered to have been the driving force behind our favorite show. Harvey Bullock, a prominent writer for the series, said Aaron did a masterful job as producer, and he was the supreme homogenizer who tailored the input from dozens of us neurotic writers. He kept the series from farce, deleted obviously intrusive jokes, made knife-edged character delineations, and, with all due respect to Nashville, avoided hee-haw. In many, many respects, The Andy Griffith Show is the Aaron Rubin Show. Aaron did write the occasional Mayberry script, such as the episode that introduced the Fun Girls, but more importantly, he did much uncredited writing on the scripts. In Neil Brower's excellent book, Mayberry 101, writers often recall funny bits in the finished episodes that were not in the script, many of them having come from Aaron. Aaron arranged group meetings or seminars during off-season for the writers where they could pitch ideas to him, Sheldon Leonard, and often Andy Griffith. It was Aaron who determined whether scripts needed to be changed and the order episodes would be aired. He made it a point to try to rotate scripts to allow the show's characters to be featured more prominently in particular episodes, as well as scheduling episodes to accommodate guest stars' availability. Aaron served in this role for the first 5 seasons of The Andy Griffith Show. After Jim Nabors joined the cast midway through season 3, Aaron immediately recognized the appeal of the simple filling station attendant, which led him to create the spinoff series Gomer Pyle USMC. Aaron also both wrote the script for and directed the pilot episode, which aired as the final episode of season 4. As a result, for his final year as producer and writer for The Andy Griffith Show, he also served as executive producer for the spinoff. He was still active on the original series, and in fact wrote the season 5 opener, Opie Loves Helen, while also directing the first episode of Gomer's new series. But after 1 year of doing double duty, Aaron left the show at the end of the black and white years to devote himself to the spinoff, where he also wrote several episodes, including the final episode of the series, and even played a character in one episode. Aaron co-wrote and co-produced with Carl Reiner the 1969 Dick Van Dyke film The Comic, and also produced other series, such as the series he created for Andy Griffith titled Headmaster. But in addition to his 2 Mayberry series, he is also known for his 3rd hit series, Norman Lear's Sanford and Son. Aaron produced that series, which earned him 3 Emmy nominations. In later years, Aaron became involved in the CASA program, which trains court-appointed special advocates to help protect children who are abused or neglected. After his first marriage ended, Aaron married the actress Maureen Arthur, who played Hetty LaRue in the film version of the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and co-starred with Don Knotts in The Love God. They remained married until Aaron's death at the age of 95 in 2010. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
All right, so if you don't want to miss any of Randy's reports, send an email to turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll take care of you. He'll get things going for you. So, folks, hey, I made a mistake there. I think you may have noticed, but was it really a mistake? No, it was an advertisement. So if you didn't see the Dub Taylor report, you need to go back and listen to last week's episode, number 467. Go read, check it out. Plus, it was a great setup for last week's episode where I was talking about Olin Soul. You remember that? I got a message from Margaret Bentley. I believe I'm saying it right. She wrote about episode number 467. She said, Alan, you said at the 6 minute and 46 second mark that Olin Soul was in Des Moines, Iowa in 1819. You had said earlier that it was in 1918. This mistake just makes me laugh. I like hearing Two Chairs, No Waiting podcast. Thanks, Alan. So, thank you for correcting that. I am known to do exactly those kind of things and make mistakes like playing the wrong episode of This Week in Mayberry History. Randy Turner also chipped in about that particular incident and said, I'm glad I'm not the only one to be off by a century, because he said I did the same thing a few weeks ago in his audio history segment. So in his segment, he had also gotten the dates off. So I did all those things, all these mistakes just to make Randy feel better. I mean, what am I laughing for? Of course, that's why I did it. Yes. And yes, thank you. So, folks, I hope you have had a good time. It is always fun for me to be here in Mayberry with you. I love spending time and just visiting with you guys. So, I would love to have you give me a call at 888-684-8415. See, I never make mistakes. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com or just drop by twochairsnowaiting.com and you'll see a link there. It says contacts. Click it and you'll have all kinds of ways to contact me. Thank you for taking time every week to spend a little time with me. Thank you for the support our patrons are giving her and folks like Ted Womack, who's our executive producer for this episode. Thank you all for all you do for Mayberry and keeping it alive. And we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs. Have a great Mayberry week. And tell everybody about the show, both the podcast and the Andy Griffith Show. We'll talk to you guys later.